22, Exodus chapter 22. I think most of you know, Wednesday night, we take advantage of Wednesday nights and go through the Old Testament, and we're going to go through the Pentateuch, the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Sunday morning, Book of Luke, Sunday night, 1 Corinthians. So Exodus 22 is a continuation after the giving of the moral law, the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, where God pronounced these Ten Commandments. He made it official. Remember, we've talked about this before. The law was written on everyone's heart from Adam and Eve forward. When Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, boom! The law of God was written on their heart, and they knew it was right and wrong. Every single person born after them knew the law, right? Interesting, I just had a conversation in Romans chapter 2 where it says, the Gentiles which have not the law. Well, I reminded them, I said, well, there's only been Gentiles since after the first 2,000 years of history. There were no Gentiles for the first 2,000 years of history. There were no Jews for the first 2,000 years of history. The law was written on everyone's heart. Everyone has known what's right and wrong. What did God do in Exodus chapter 20? He then put it in writing so that it wouldn't get distorted from that point on. There were enough men that connected all the way back to Adam that God, in his wisdom, had people passing on the truth verbally, and he said, need to put it in writing so that we make sure it doesn't get perverted. And today, even when the Bible's in writing, people go, I disagree with that. And I don't think we have that right, and when it's written plain, clearly, and simple. Then Exodus chapter 21 really was given laws that were details for judges, for the nation of Israel. Exodus chapter 22 does the same thing. And the title of the message tonight is Personal Responsibility. Tonight, I'm not going to read the entire chapter and then go through it. It's good. I think you're going to enjoy it by just going through it in pieces. But we're going to just walk through it in sections tonight. But it's personal responsibility. Let me just give you a little background of what that's about. God, in his wisdom, he puts judgments and laws together that, again, remember this, the punishment would match the crime, and our behavior, our choices, we should be accountable for that. And God has that throughout the scriptures, that if you do something, you then should be held personally responsible for that. And so he then has these laws of the land, but as Christians, we should strive to represent this as well. Exodus chapter 22, let's read the first five verses, and then we'll talk about those. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun shall be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. And I included this under the first thought this evening of stealing, and it's this, verse 5. If a man shall cause a field or vineyard to be eaten, you know, your cows are mooching, shall put in his beast and shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard shall he make restitution. Again, you're going to see this theme. You do something, then you're going to have to make restitution. Let's just walk through this. The first one is stealing. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. God gives great detail on this. Look at verse 1. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. Guess who determines how many oxen you should have to restore if you kill it or eat it? God. So you know what that suggests? You're going to steal something, steal it. It's this. He says you're going to give five oxen back for that oxen you take. You're going to give four sheep back. What I love is God says that, and he is so just, right? He's so just. This, I think our whole society would be better. And so what happens is if you say, I don't have the money, selling into indentured servanthood. Yeah. Sell him until that debt's paid. Don't just lock him up, man. That'd be way better system, right? I think you'd see fewer and fewer people stealing. I doubt we'd have these raids at the malls. You know, I'd be like, going to be picking corn this summer, right? And make them pay back all that they've destroyed and all that they've stolen. God in his wisdom, we should follow God's wisdom. And it's just so good. He says, you steal an oxen, you're gonna, and you kill it and you sell it, you're going to have to return five and four sheep. And then look at verse 2. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. So, when do most crimes happen? At night. And so, at night, then there's a lot of misunderstanding. I want you to understand, we should never desire to kill somebody as a Christian. Okay, somebody breaks into your house, protect your family, and when your family's protected, I would say don't kill the person if you can avoid it. I used to talk so tough, somebody breaks into my house, one of us is going to die. Yeah, okay, sounds really good, Clint Eastwood, but it is, I know where I'm going, that thief doesn't, but a lot of things happen. Somebody's breaking in at night, they steal, look at this, if a thief be found breaking up, and this is, and he be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. And it's not that we would desire that, but there, God says, nope, the guy shouldn't have come at night. Now, if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. It's this. I believe this. What I've seen different commentaries, and my thought is this. If the guy gets away, so here's, this is my view. If the guy gets away, and it's now the next day, and you can't then go chase him down and kill him. God said if he breaks, look at verse 2, he says, if a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. So you're not going to be held accountable for killing that thief if he breaks in, and I think, just knowing verse 3, it would be at night. But if he comes and steals and the sun be risen up and you're in fast pursuit, no, you're not killing him now for protection. This is what I believe. It says if the sun be risen up, there shall be blood shed for him. If you catch him and you kill him, then you're going to be held responsible for that. And here's what I've read in most commentaries, so I'll give you the other option. I don't think this is what it's saying. They're saying, well, if somebody robs you at night, then you don't know what they're up to, and you won't be held accountable for lethal force. If they steal during the day and you kill them, you're in trouble. I think what it's saying, if the sun be risen upon him. So this thief comes in, he steals, and then the sun raises the next day. There shall be blood shed for him if you go and then kill him and say, well, God said it was okay in verse 2. He goes, no, what you must do, verse 3, for he should make full restitution. Let's catch him, make him pay the debt that he owes. We should never seek to have life. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. God in his brilliance would say, what a great system. It's a system. I struggle with the whole concept. And our system of justice is better than any, but it's still got flaws. It's sort of like if you're a felon in the United States, it's like you're marked for life. And I struggle with that. I've just dealt with so many, I don't know what the right system is. I'm not saying that, right? But it is... So I don't know. So I don't know. I'm not looking around. So I don't know who's here, who's not. We have felons in our church. Former. Life is really hard. Somehow I wish there was a better system that could allow reconciliation, forgiveness, and restitution that would allow them to be a full-fledged citizen without all the struggles. God has that system here. He says, you steal... you're going to pay it back. The minimum is double. We're going to see that in just a second. And so what I love about this, it's like this. You've restored them. You've taken care of it. Carry on. I doubt you'll steal twice when this happens. Verse 4. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive. So he steals an oxen. and boom, is still alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. Let's say they got the ox. You still, great, return that ox, and then you got to buy him another one. You can't buy him that ox. Everybody got here for this young man? We got 5, 5, 5, 10, 10, 10, 15, 15, you know, and you're going to be sold until you pay that debt back. I think it's a great system that allows restoration, and you've also taken care of the people that you took advantage of. It says this in verse 5, if a man cause a field or vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field, and of the best of his own vineyard shall he make restitution. So you can see this. The guy goes, Jerry doesn't, he doesn't take care of his land. I'm going to let my cattle eat on his back 40. And God said, you know what? How many acres your animals ate? From the best of your acreage, you're going to take the harvest, and that's what you're going to give Jerry. It's good. It's good. You're going to think twice. And so I love the system. Now, I brought this up, and so I brought it up again when we said thou shalt not steal in Exodus chapter 20. And it's this, when I think about this, well, how do we steal? And I'm going to show you the verses again. And I literally hate talking about money. I just want you to understand this. I hate talking about money. It's one reason we don't take up an offering, because I hate talking about money. I don't want us to be talking about an offering. But I would be remiss. I'd be remiss for several reasons. The first one is, for where your treasure is, there is your heart, where your heart be also. So it's this, and I'll show you these verses. I'll show you these verses, right? Let's just look at the second one, Malachi 3:8-9. And I know you say it's Old Testament, but it said, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. I need to tell you this for your own good. And then we're going to look at Haggai chapter 1, but it's this. You know, so I'm going to tell you this. You couldn't get a regular pastor today. Offerings aren't good enough. You guys take care of me as I've asked, right? You have agreed to pay me $48,000. I only take $36,000. Okay? God's been good to us. I'm happy with that. And I'm not complaining. This is not complaining. I don't benefit by increased offerings. Zero increase. I don't. Don't want to. Not doing it for the money. I'm not interested in any of that. Within 10 years, you should know who's replacing me. And I want you to be able to take care of a family fully. That includes health insurance, life insurance. You're going to pay Social Security. You're going to pay him so he can live in the ministry. And I'm going to give you a number today. That's going to be at least fully loaded with all those things, at least $100,000 in that ballpark. Hope Baptist Church couldn't do that. I tell you that to say, and I just want you to know this, I hate this, and if I'm awkward with it, and if I seem mean when I do this, that's what happens to me when I'm like, I hate this. But I've got friends, and they go, you know, you don't talk about it enough. I go, I don't want to talk about it at all. I tell this for your good, that Christians should give unto the Lord. I believe the minimum standard of God's word is a tithe, that's 10%. And there's a problem. I'm convinced this isn't just an Old Testament concept. It's real. So don't get upset at me. I really don't like to mention it. I don't want to mention it. But I also want to make sure that one day, right? And I do, my goal has always been, I want to give 90% away to missions. I know, dreamer, nothing but a dreamer. But it's, I want to give 90% away to missions and live on 10%. If we have to take up a special offering, it'll be for us. I want us to give it away to missions. Missions is the best place for us to send our money and get it outside of the United States. But I tell you this, I tell you this, that you should give financially unto the Lord. I don't benefit from that. I'm telling you, you will benefit from that. God tells us later in Malachi that he says, prove me. In essence, test me, that I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings from God. It'll be running over, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and God will bless you. And I tell you that, so I'm uncomfortable. I'm not excited about telling you that, but I want to challenge you. A church our size, you should be able to pay a man, and I'm not complaining. If you think I'm complaining, I'm zero complaining. I'm a happy guy. I love this church. I'm a spoiled man, but I I want it to be good. The greatest thing, and I'm thinking about this way early. I'm not planning on stepping down anytime soon, right? So just so you know, but I need to have this in my plans. What happens with churches is the transition. It's a big deal for churches. I want whoever replaces me to be a man that buys into what we stand for and believe and will pursue, and he's going to be different. That's going to be great. That's going to be so good. But I tell you this, if there is robbing and there is stealing within churches, it's financially. And that's not me trying. I'm just telling you, take it up with God. Get right with God. He will bless you. I mean, we pay Uncle Sam first, but God says, give him the first fruits. And I just tell you that if I come across, because I'm always awkward in these situations, but I'm probably going to be a little bit more clear as time goes on for your benefit and for the future of the church's benefit. And I just avoid it. I don't like it. And I truly do believe this: when God's people are right with God, they give. And on a Wednesday night, this is a weird night to preach it, because most people on Wednesday nights give. So I just tell you that to say, challenge yourself, right? I'm going to more clearly teach new believers the joy in giving, the delight in giving, and God will bless in a great way. But when we think about this, you imagine this. You got to give five oxen for one oxen that you've taught. Well, what happens when we steal from God? I think Haggai tells us. He says, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put them in a bag with holes. I'm just telling you, it's, you know, we went through in Sunday school the Sabbath, and the Israelites were to have the land rest every 7 years, and they didn't do it. For 490 years, they skipped that. And God said, you'll be in exile, you'll be in bondage with the Babylonians for 70 years, and the land will get its rest. If you think it's bad that I would steal from you, I think it's just immeasurably worse to steal from God. I tell you this for your own good, and I don't like to preach it. I don't like to talk about it. Because I know you get all your TV preachers, and we got a financial report coming out tonight too, so it's good. And our finances are fine. Our finances are good, right? You'll see it increased. It's not that I want to give it away. I want to give it away. Not to me. I want to give it away for the cause of Christ and His glory and His honor. And don't be a thief before God. I will tell you, I've known Christians that petty theft for the thrill of it in stores and different things. It ought not to be. It ought not to be. And so if I were to see two things with Christians, it's just crazy. Christians will steal dumb stuff in stores. And it dishonors God. All right, now verses 6 through 15, let's read those and then we'll talk about them. It's going to deal with property. It's going to deal with property. Personal responsibility with property. Look at this. If fire break out and catch in thorns, so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. You see that today. When there's a wildfire, whether it's out in California, and that's typically where we see them, they are interested in who started the fire. Was it lightning that started the fire? And there is personal responsibility, personal accountability for all of our actions. And he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. It is God's plan that we take responsibility for all the things that we do. Look at verse 7. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep. So, hey, neighbor, need you to keep this. And to be stolen out of the man's house. If the thief be found, then let him pay double. Okay, so here's the situation. I have Randall keep some stuff for me, and all of a sudden Randall said, it's gone. Well, if the thief's caught, the thief will have to pay me double. Verse 8, if the thief be not found, God's so wise. In our example, I would say, then I would wonder, I wonder about old Randall. I noticed that he's got a new van. You don't have a new van, but you'd like a new van. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges. So Randall be brought unto the judges to see whether he have put his hand into his neighbor's goods. Because that would be, you'd think that, right? I hope we wouldn't. Hope we wouldn't with a brother, but you probably would wonder, like, hey, I know, all's well, Randall, I think. But he said this. God just says, you know what, just do this. So we're gonna investigate Randall. And he says this, for all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox, for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost thing, which another challengeth to be his. The cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. And so if a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox or a sheep, and so let's just pay there. So in this instance, Randall would be investigated, and if he's relieved of any responsibility, then all's well. We lose things sometimes. And it's this. Now, I love verse 10. It does a little bit different thing. So you borrow something from somebody. So I borrowed Ron's truck when he was in Florida. Driving real easy, right? And so if a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox or a sheep or any beast to keep, and it die or be hurt or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he hath not put his hand unto his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and shall not make it good. So, you know, you give them an animal, and they're going to watch the animals while you're, you know, go to Disney World or something. And so you come back, and it's like, it's dead. And by all evidence, nobody went out against that animal. And he says this, I think this oath, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both. And I think the judges would adjudicate that. And verse 11, that he put not his hand into his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. So you're not responsible. Not responsible. Now verse 12. And if it be stolen from him. So I let Randall keep my sheep. Keep my sheep. And so, and if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. Randall, when I let him keep my sheep, he's going to take responsibility for it. If one of them is maimed, killed, or attacked or something, no. But if it be stolen, he shall make restitution of the owner thereof. If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for a witness. So you bring the torn animal, and he shall not make good that which was torn. And so you're going to watch the sheep, take responsibility for it. Again, it's just responsibility. I knew somebody, I've got to be super careful. Nobody would know this person, so don't worry about this. They borrowed a camera back in the day where your phone wasn't your camera. You're like, was that ever the case? And they borrowed a phone, and they borrowed the camera, and they broke the camera. Not, it wasn't mine. Okay, so I was waiting for them to take care of that camera for that person that they borrowed the camera from. Now, here's what happened. The person they borrowed from said, don't worry about it. No issues. We'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. You don't listen to them. You say, nope. I'm going to take care of that camera, get it fixed, replace it, whatever you choose to do, you can get it fixed. You see, I believe this. If I borrow something, then I need to take care of it. I told you when I borrowed Alessio, you've heard that, it's a recent one, Alessio's truck backed into that little tiny, teeny tree on my yard. I was doing it because I was cheap. I didn't want to pay for delivery for mulch, and I paid for lifetime delivery for mulch on that. Boom, he had one of these bubble trucks, you know, with the boom, everything bubbled out. And $700. This is like back in 1994. It was a long time ago. $700 was a lot back in 1994. And Alessio said, oh, Steve, you don't have to pay me back. And I said, no, I'm paying you back, Alessio. Because you know what I have found? People love their trucks, man. It's like, what? It's like, I know. I'm still in trouble with Ron. You know, I recommended a guy to paint his truck. And, you know, don't look at his truck too close. It's fine. It's good, right? But I still feel bad. But one thing I know, I don't know if I have any recommendation for somebody that owns a truck, because it's like, God first, my truck, and then my family, and then my church. And so men love their truck. So I paid for Alessio's truck, and Alessio was insistent, you're not paying for the truck. And you know what? He took my money, which he should. You just do what's right and insist, or don't borrow it. Okay, now, look, God's so wise. Look at this. Look at this in verse 14. And if a man borrow aught of his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof, being not with it, he shall surely make it good. I don't know, because this would be tough. I was worried, you know, Ron set me up for, I asked to borrow, but what if his truck threw a rod? I'm like, and what if he knew verse 14? I do it like my dad. So I grew up, you know, I was at my house, and so I broke a lot of things inadvertently when I was growing up, right? So I was, he loved this recliner. We were not allowed to sit in it when he was home. So I remember I came home one day, and dad's not home, and I'm like, oh, you know, this is my life. I'm on that recliner. Oh man, the back broke. And so I get that back up, and I get it with some sticks, and I'm like, it'll break on him. And so I remember, so he comes home, and boom, and he said, Steve, you know, and I'm like, oh no, son, no, boy. It was boy when I was in trouble, right? And so many things, right? Somebody told me this, so don't try this at home, right? So I've learned the principle of restitution just in so many ways, right? So it was, somebody told me I like to play ping pong. Somebody told me, the easiest way, because I was cheap, right? I didn't have a lot of money as a kid. And, you know, ping pong, they said, all you need to do, don't do this. All you need to do is get a little match, make it close to the ping pong ball, and it'll pop the ping pong ball out. Nobody told me that ping pong balls are the most flammable item known to mankind, okay? And I was doing it in the family room that had carpet, so bad idea. So I should have done it out in the garage, right? So I'm like, ha! And then, you know, carpet's basically plastic, and so this, oh man, it, and so I moved the ceramic hound dog over the burnt spot. I thought, he won't notice. And the first thing he did, he walked in the family room and goes, who moved the dog? And I'm like, oh man, I am in so much trouble. And so I'm learning these principles, right? And so I'm just telling you, my dad taught me these. So when I was a kid, right, I remember I was, I dropped my toothbrush in the toilet. And it wasn't clean water. I'm like, rip. And so, you know, I was like, the thought I had was, I will flush the toilet, and then I shall remove the toothbrush. I'm not going to use the toothbrush, relax. I would throw it away. But I needed to get it out of the, you know. And so, lo and behold, you know, a little swirly, and the toothbrush goes, and got stuck in the neck. And so I'm like, I had two sisters, so I talked to them, and I said, this is only a number one toilet. Okay, you guys get the numbers right. I'm trying to avoid language here from the pulpit. And so we're good for months. Sitting in the family room with my dad one day, and you know, there our bathroom toilet's right above. And my sister forgot the code. She had to go. And she flushed, and I mean, all of a sudden the water's flooding through the ceiling, and I'm like, oh, I'm in trouble. And so I remember he taught me this. He said, you're paying for the ceiling and the toilet. And it was the first time I ever remember praying about something weird, because he said, I'm going to try one more time to get that toothbrush. And I remember praying, God, please help my dad. He had a coat hanger and a little hole in the end of the toothbrush, right? God allowed it, said yes, I'm not sure, but whang, he got the toothbrush out, and I'm like, so I need to pay for the ceiling. And so restitution, right? I was responsible for all of those. And I love my parents. They made me pay for it. I didn't have to pay for the chair, but I never heard the end of it for the rest of my life. It's like, you know that chair I loved? Yeah, I know that chair you loved. You broke it. You used it for 20 years, but I didn't say that. I want you to know this. Don't borrow it if you can't replace it. That's the Christian principle, right? And if I've wronged anybody in here, you tell me. I want to make it right. It's just not worth it, right? God says this. So, I mean, look at this. Look at this. Look at verse 15. Look at verse 14, 15. Let's just, and if a man borrow aught of his neighbor, and if he hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good, for it is an hired thing, and it came for his hire. So the owner's there, and he might be plowing the field with the oxen, and boom, the ox dies. He's like, no, no, you don't replace that. He's there. It was for hire. That's his job. But if you borrow that ox and the thing kicks the bucket, right, you got to replace it. Again, you don't have to borrow anything. You follow me? Only borrow it if you can replace it. These are just good principles of the Bible. Now, verse 16, 17, and 19, I'm going to put under the broad perspective of relationships. Look at verse 16, 17. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed, so she's not engaged. If a man entice a maid that is not betrothed or married and engaged and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuse to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. You understand this? Our society here, this is an important message. You have physical relations with them, Bible says, marry them. You violate someone, the dad goes, ain't no way you're marrying my daughter. You got to pay for the cost that it would have cost to marry her. That's good stuff. And you know, I love it. It takes two to tango, I know. But he holds the one and he says this. It'll put us in shape, right? It'll say this. No, you want to... You don't buy a car until you test drive it. That's a car, right? You test drive the damsel, marry her. That's the Bible. You understand that? I mean, it is our young men. Behave yourself. This is old men. Behave yourself. It's an honor of God, and if you've hurt a woman, you should pay. If the dad says, you aren't marrying my daughter, you have to pay. It says, according to the dowry of virgins, you've taken her virginity, and you must pay. That's Bible. People get very uncomfortable with this. I cross the line. Is my wife in here? There she is. All right. Sometimes I get crazy bold, and then afterwards I was like, that was dumb. I probably shouldn't even tell this. You know what I'm thinking about, right? You don't. Okay, it's many moons ago. I shouldn't have done this, but I did. I was studying Exodus at the time. So Josh was dating this young lady, and I said, be honorable, or you'll have to marry him, Exodus chapter 22. And, you know, that's all I really said, but that's it. I got in trouble. And you remember that? Yeah, okay. I'm glad you don't. See, you know what I love that? This is my wife. She remembers every statement I've ever made in my entire life, going back 37 years. But she does forget some things, so thank you for that. I was really, you know, it was too much. But understand this. I don't think I have to follow that. But I taught my son, you're not a free agent, friend. You're responsible for how you behave. And we will make things right if you misbehave, period. You understand that? And if we thought about in those terms, and you know what I love about God? He gets us where it hurts. He's like, right here. It'll motivate you to do what's right. You know why we ought to do what's right? Because we love God. And the beautiful thing is, when we love God, His ways benefit us. But that's never motivating enough. So I'm going to tell you this, just one final thought on this. Let's say you've blown it. Don't listen to the devil. Honor Christ today. You can't change yesterday. Honor Christ today. The holiness of your body, of your vessel today, matters. Understand that? Because the devil will say, man, you're used... piece of meat. Doesn't matter. It matters. It matters. Today matters. Honor Christ today. And I don't know if I'm preaching to anybody here, but there may be some wrongs you need to make right. And maybe there's some people you just at least need to say, you know, I'm so sorry I disrespected you. And it was evil. Please forgive me. I don't think it's ever too late to say you're sorry. And I'm going to put under relationships, and I'm not going to talk about this much. This is one of the saddest verses of the Bible in the sense of I feel so bad for God. Now, I don't think we should ever feel bad for God, but I do. That he had to put, and I'm going to only talk about it briefly, verse 19. Whosoever lieth with the beast shall surely be put to death. God's word is holy. God's word is beautiful. God's word is wonderful. And yet, we are so messed up that God had to put verse 19 in there. I want you to understand this. The United States of America isn't far from that becoming more normal. When you watch history and the decadence of nations, we are one step away from that being not so weird. It is just tragic that God had to include that in his word. I just leave it at that. I put that under relationships. Now let's talk about worship. And I do include this. Let's read verse 18 and 20. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. In verse 20, he that sacrificeth unto any god save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. It's this. This would be judges. And I know the Salem witch trials here in the United States, and I've just only read a little bit of it in history. It sounds like it became abusive. So what they did is, again, this is for Israel, but I want to help you understand this. You want to understand this? You know what God thinks about witches? Real witches, they should die. Not at your hands. This is not vigilantism. This is not you and I just going out and saying, we're going to hang you from the highest tree. God says this. Anybody that worships the devil and the occult and his power and the powers of darkness, they should not live. I will tell you, don't mess with anything that has to do with seances, darkness, tarot cards, palm reading, horoscopes, any of that, it's of the devil. God hates that stuff. He hates it. We ought not to hate people. Nassim asked me a great question. Isn't that fascinating? You asked me that question today at lunch. He said, how, because I've walked with witch doctors. I didn't mention this verse. But they should die. If they don't have to. Our country doesn't have to have a law that says witches will die. I don't think our country would be wrong to have witches die. Only because God knows better than I do. But so Nassim was asking me, because he knew I've walked with a witch doctor or two, and I'm sharing the gospel, right? I shouldn't be with a witch doctor in fellowship, even over a meal. In any sense, we were in the open, and I was walking the streets, and he was walking with me. I think God can save witch doctors. I do. And I told him, what would interest me in seeing a witch doctor born again? They have so much recognition and influence on people. If they were to be saved, it could impact a community incredibly. I told you, on the witch doctor's house, on their flag, do you know what was on the witch doctor's flag? A cross. Jesus culture's mixed into everything. This witch doctor claimed to be a believer of Jesus. And I said, ain't no way. And so understand this. And then verse 20, it's he that sacrificeth unto any god save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. I want you to understand this. That's how God views, and I think ultimately his judgment will be against those that worship any other god. Do you see the detail that goes along within the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt have no other God before me. And so, in terms of worship, there is one God to worship. We need to make sure we're worshiping the one, the true God. Worship him and him only. And I just tell you, stay away from anything that you, if you have a question about it, stay away from it. Right? There's a ton of evil. I will tell you, drugs, illicit drugs, right? It is the Greek word for sorcery in the New Testament is pharmakia. You want to see, and I'm just telling you, I don't know all this, you know, but somehow these illicit drugs, they open people up for demon influence. Now, just so you know, if you're a true believer, you cannot be possessed with both an evil spirit and the Holy Spirit. So I'm not suggesting that a Christian could ever be possessed by an evil spirit. But I'm just telling you that the word for sorcery, pharmakia, that's, we get the word pharmaceutical. It's a gateway to opening yourself up to evil, demonic influences. If you talk to people like this, they talk about friendly snakes. Oh, they do. I've talked to too many guys from the drug world, and the devil is the great serpent. And I'm just telling you, evil's real. You want to see evil? It's way more outside of the United States. We have an influence of the gospel here, even though it's a weakened gospel. We don't see what happens internationally. It's different. Don't mess with it. Worship God and only Him, and that's what God says. Now, let's quickly. Immigrants. So, are all these relevant? The Bible calls them the stranger, so I'm calling them the immigrants, so you know. Immigrants and the oppressed. Look at verse 21. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger. Oh, Christian, we ought to be kind to all people. Hispanics and anybody that's here, I'm not worried whether they're legal or illegal. That's not my job. My job is to take the gospel and teach the gospel and take the gospel to every creature. And God says, we better not be part of this. God gives the government responsibility, right? The government is there to manage the things of the government, but we better not vex a stranger. And he tells them why. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Let's just make sure of this. I mean, nope, none of us are native to America. I don't even know if the Native Americans are native to America, you know? And so, who cares? We're all strangers in a strange land. And you be thankful for the blessings of citizenship where the blessings are. Don't be arrogant about it. Verse 22, you shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. They're vulnerable. Widows, typically poor. Widows, they're more isolated. The fatherless, they don't have that blessing of having a man that would just be so. The need for a man and a woman in a home is so important. I want you to know this. God has said, I'll be the father to the fatherless. But to be clear, homes without a father, it's harder. It's an epidemic in the United States. Why? Because we don't take relationships serious and we act like we're dogs. And we just go from one house to the other. And so we have this, but then what happens is then we'll take advantage of the widows and the fatherless, because you just talk about this. Men, be a blessing. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. Don't be a jerk. Be a blessing. I'm not pointing at you. I mean, I'm looking in the mirror. Be a blessing. God made us to be a blessing to people. But what we've done is we've abused it, and that's where he says, don't afflict any widow or fatherless. Verse 23, if thou afflict them, look at the Lord, I love this. If thou afflict them, now he's talking to them nationally, so understand this in verse 23. If thou afflict them in any way, in any wise, or they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. The widows, the fatherless, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. Again, I believe this. God will not, the blessings of God will not prevent the enemy from coming in. And your men are going to be the men in the battlefield. And so it's this. So I don't say this often. I could get in trouble. You know why America is what America is? God. Not the soldiers. I'm not asking you to disrespect veterans. I'm tired of it. we have disrespected God. It's God. Men have died. I'm thankful for that. And we ought to be kind to them and show respect to them. And I love that we take care of our veterans. Don't misunderstand me. You follow me? But let me just tell you that we are a blessed country because of God, because of faithful men that have stood for the gospel. And God has blessed this country, but His grace has been poured out. But it's just the gospel of Christ. It's God and His goodness of why we're a free country. No nuclear bomb that's going to protect us. It's God. And you don't like it? I've never said this from the pulpit. I might as well say this. I'd get in trouble. I probably shouldn't say this. You've never noticed there's never going to be an American flag while I'm pastor. Not interested in allegiance to anything but Christ. I love America. There, I said it. And alive. I love this country. Don't get me wrong. But this country is what it is because of God. And we of all people, we ought to love veterans. We ought to be thankful for them. But I will tell you this. Our country, if there's any good about it, it's God. And so, I'm not trying to disrespect them. I'm just telling you, it's not an accident we don't have a flag. It's not an accident I turned a flagpole into a light pole outside. Because I knew somebody was going to say, let's hoist the flag. Nobody has. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Let's not get upset about that, okay? You don't have to agree with me. Let's not have a fight over a flag either. Maybe wisdom would say, I should have shut up. My wife will probably let me know. That would have been a good thing to do. In a good way. She would tell me that. You agree with that? Shouldn't have said that? All right. Verse 25. All right. Should have ended. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer. Neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down. For that is his covering only. It is his raiment for the skin, wherewith shall he sleep. And it shall come to pass when he crieth unto me that I will hear, for I am gracious. Here's the key. You want to help a poor person and you don't have the money to give away? Well, I'll tell you this. Anytime you give money away, you should be willing to lose it. Here's what I tell you to do. Don't charge people interest. Don't charge the poor interest. Don't. That's usury. Now, some would say usury might be excessive interest, but I'm just telling you this. You're going to lend money to the poor. Don't charge them interest. That's what I think it says. And then when there's surety, the Bible talks this. So he might give you his cloak and say, I'm going to pay you back, Steve. I'm going to pay you $2 a day. And every day I'll come and I'll say, I got your cloak, man. I got your little coat. And the Bible says you give him his coat, his cloak, his blanket for the night, because that's how he stays warm. The next day you go get it again. So you got surety. You got, you know, basically that would be, we'd call it collateral. Call that collateral, right? The Bible says this. If you're going to lend money to the poor, don't charge them interest. That's the principle of God's word. That's what I think is good. Okay, so we talked this. Political leaders, look at verse 28. I got 2 minutes. Thou shalt not revile the gods. That would be leaders. Small g, you notice that? Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. I tell you this, I don't care what you think about the president. If you talk badly about him, you're violating scripture. I could take you to the New Testament. We don't have time. You know what? You know who put the leaders in place? God did. Doesn't mean he approves of their moral stature, and it could be for our own judgment, but he says this. He says, verse 28, thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. Let God deal with them. Verse 29 to 31, separation unto God. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors or of thy juices. Not talking about alcohol. The firstborn of thy son shalt thou give unto me. We're going to see later. So you'd give the firstborn unto your son, and you know how you get your son back? You had to pay. God gave a redemption plan. You would redeem your son back. And so he says, the firstborn's mine. Likewise, you won't get the oxen back. Likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam or his mother. On the eighth day thou shalt give it me, and he shall be and you shall be holy men unto me. Neither shall you eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field. You shall cast it to the dog. God wanted them to be separate, right? So anti-roadkill here. I'm not saying it's wrong to eat roadkill, but I probably wouldn't. And he does that to say this. I want my people to trust me. trust me that I'll provide. Trust me. I want my people to be separate unto me. I want my people to remember me, that you give of the first fruits. You don't give of the leftovers. You don't give of the abundance. You don't give if you got it. You give the first fruits and you trust me. And you know, if you see an animal on the side of the road, don't eat it. That's what he said. Again, this whole chapter, personal responsibility. Remember this. Our behavior, we need to answer for our behavior. That's what God would have us to do. Let's pray. Father.